Hello, everyone, and welcome to Teach Me Teacher, a podcast for educators where we, the teachers, become students ourselves. I'm your host, Jacob Chastain, and today I'm here with Katie Tollett of For Teachers, a brand new YouTube channel that is out there changing the lives for all kinds of people. They're bringing positivity to the profession. They are helping teachers of all kinds, and we are here to discuss the negative stigma that has become attached to teaching, how we can help that, and everything kind of surrounding the topic of teaching as a profession and why we should all be loving it and supporting it out in public. Alrighty, Katie, how are you doing today?
Hi, Jacob. Thanks for having us on the show.
I am so glad to have you on because, you know, we're talking a little bit off air, and I think I say that on every episode because I can't help but have a small discussion before we go into an episode. But what you guys are doing, you and Ryan, right? We don't have Ryan with us today, but he's here in spirit.
Ryan's in work today. He's actually teaching.
Oh, yeah. Unlike us. So, you know, we're slackers over here.
Yep.
You know, he's here in spirit, but what you guys are doing over there at For Teachers, you know, I'm a new fan to the YouTube channel, but what the positivity that you guys bring, the style that y'all have already developed over, you know, the course of the videos, I think, you know, I'm just a huge fan, and I'm so glad that I get to bring you guys to the Teach Me Teacher community to help grow the awesome stuff that you're doing.
Sure. Thank you so much for having it. Thank you so much for that. So, you know, as you can tell by the video style, we're trying to keep everything really positive, really uplifting. Just the reason why we started it is because we noticed online when we were searching for things to do with teaching, a lot of negative things were coming up. So there was videos on YouTube for teachers, but a lot of it revolved around, oh, I'm so stressed, today was the worst day, reasons why I quit teaching, reasons why you shouldn't be a teacher. And we spotted this pattern, and in our search to try and find someone doing something a bit more positive, we did come across a community. There is an amazing teacher community out there on YouTube. But what we saw was lacking was this sort of duo conversational vibe that we're trying to channel. You know, it does reflect really well in the videos that Ryan and I are best friends and we've worked together before. So I think people kind of find that supportive. They acknowledge that what we're talking about, we've been through together and we've got real life experience of doing this.
One of, you know, the interesting thing about kind of how you guys started and why the YouTube channel exists is in a lot of ways the reason why I do Teach Me Teacher and why I started doing the videos on the Facebook page, which is, you know, I would watch, you know, the popular videos that get passed around Facebook or Twitter and stuff like that. And one of the big things that came up was, you know, they were funny and humorous and stuff like that, but they're always focused on the negative, right? It was always making fun of teaching, or it was making fun of the crap that we have to deal with. And I would read the comments, and just scrolling through them, you're like, you know, you always judge something by the fruit it bears, and the fruit a lot of those videos do, you know, whether intentional or not, funny or not, is it brings a lot of negativity, and people see that, right? There is a public persona of teachers showing, you know, yeah, there's things that suck, and then it just makes a bunch of people complain, right? And you're kind of going the opposite way.
Well, we funny you should say that, because we actually recorded a video the other day, which is coming out in a couple of weeks, which is a spin on sort of celebrities reading mean tweets, only it's teachers reading kind of comments that people make about the profession. And obviously it's got a positive spin to it and it's quite funny. But we talk a lot about how people throw these phrases around, like those who can't teach, those who can't do teach. And people say, you know, all you do is sing songs and draw stick men all day. And just this kind of impression that people have that teachers are these like characters that just either don't do anything or are just workaholics, or we even dipped into like a talk about pop culture and how teachers are represented in like cartoons, and it makes you realize that actually the profession kind of does have almost a comical take on it sometimes. And I always say that the best lessons that teachers ever teach are the ones that happen in a classroom that no one sees apart from the children. So I think it's just bringing those amazing ideas that people have out into the open and making it seem like there is a really, really strong community out there. We just have to channel it and support each other a bit more.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sold completely on this mission that you guys have because, you know, there is a community of people who are like, they're almost thirsty for the positivity because, you know, not everyone is burnt out, right? Not everyone hates their job when they walk in the day. There are tons of teachers who go in there excited to teach whatever age group they're teaching, excited to teach their content, excited to do crazy stuff, or, you know, it's... But yet, if you look at, like, if you probably surveyed all the social media posts and all the comments on these videos, you would probably think otherwise, right?
I think so. I mean, some of our most popular videos so far have been focused around work-life balance. I think that's a really hot topic. It seems to be something that people are searching for a lot. So they're really interested in finding out what makes a good teacher, because we've worked with people who seem to think that you're a good teacher if you get in at like 7 o'clock in the morning and you leave at 8 o'clock at night, then you go home and you work for 3 more hours. And these people that are just so burnt out, and don't get me wrong, like, we have been there, we've done this, we've experienced all of this like stress level and workload. And I think what we're trying to say through our videos is that if you take steps early on to look after yourself and your own well-being, then actually you're going to become a better teacher because of it. You know, you're going to go into that classroom feeling refreshed. You're going to inspire the children with your positivity. You're going to have the energy to actually put forward your ideas. And we're finding a lot of students are reaching our videos through searching terms like teacher stress and teacher work life. And I think it's great that we can kind of put that message across.
What I've always harped on, you know, and what we've talked about on the Teach Me and Teacher podcast is there are tons of things, like, whatever fuels you is what you need to be doing more of. And for me, it is, like, today I had a half day at my campus because my son was sick, so I had to leave. But and the day before I was at a training, so I only saw my kids for a little bit of time. But like that time away from them, like, it hurts my drive. Like I get fueled the more I'm working with my students and being in the classroom. But not everyone. Some people get fueled by being with their family and then taking that drive and going into the classroom. Some people get fueled by taking a break, right? Hanging out with their friends and stuff like that. Then going back, it's like, whatever you need to do to take care of yourself, like, you need to do that. One, I mean, it's just good, you know, it's just good sense, right? Take care of yourself before, whatever that means, before you go to work. But two, the kids deserve you at your best. And if you're not at your best, then you're hurting yourself, but you're also hurting this group of kids, which, you know, it's not their choice most of the time to be in your room. So you owe it to give it your all, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first year of teaching for me, I didn't take a lot of time out for myself. And I just think it can be incredibly draining. And, you know, everything that Ryan and I talk about on the channel, we're guilty of ourselves, which is why I think people can relate to it. There's a video where we're talking about spending all of your time after the school hours chatting to your colleagues rather than doing your work. Ryan just looks at me and I look back at him and I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. This was us for, you know, an entire year before we realized that that conversation that was taking up an hour of, you know, work time, you're allowed to take off site. Like, you can leave the school after the children have gone. And as long as you're on top of your work, and, you know, we do say that you need to get everything sorted. We're not saying slack and don't do the work. But we're also saying, if you've got colleagues that are having a hard time or someone that you think needs some support, there's no harm in saying, right, well, let's take a class together somewhere, like a gym class, or go out and do a club together and just spend time with people. But try and make it something that's completely separate to teaching, because you have to have a way to switch off. You can't be, you know, doing what we've done in the past, which is go home and think about lessons and sleep and think about planning and wake up and think about marking. You know, there has to be a balance as well. And I think that's something that people are latching onto and starting to really understand about our channel.
I'm curious because, you know, you talked about how, you know, the stuff that you guys are kind of warning people about, new teachers and old teachers alike, you know, don't do these things, the stuff that you've been guilty of yourself. And I found, you know, a lot of the stuff that I talk about is stuff that I learned from, you know, experience as well. But, you know, what's funny is a lot of the things I heard, but I, you know, I didn't learn until I experienced it. Do you ever feel like you might be putting this message out and it's still something that people, you know, just might have to, you know, it's like people say you're not happy if you're rich, but everyone wants to be rich to find out if that's true.
Yeah, I get you.
Like, is that in the back of your minds, like, anytime I've tried to do something proactive, or anytime I have a monologue on the podcast where I'm like saying, hey, this is what I believe, you guys should agree with me, you know, anytime I'm making a definite statement, I'm always in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, is this going to be heard, or are they going to ignore it? Like, do you, like, that self-doubt about your message, does that creep into when you guys are making videos at all?
I feel like maybe what you're asking is something about, like, do we practice what we preach in a way? Like, are we seeing through the messages that we're portraying on the channel? You know, because it can be tough some days. Some days it mounts up, and anyone who's involved with teaching or education or anything to do with working with children or will know that, you know, it can mount up, and there are days where it's really hard to switch off. But, you know, hopefully what we're starting to show through the channel is that teaching is a profession that's developing constantly. And as it sort of becomes more modern, you know, children, they love YouTube, and adults, like, maybe they go home and they watch videos on YouTube themselves. And what this can kind of offer is, it's almost like PD, like, you could use this in a staff meeting. We do a challenge video, which is 60 seconds, reasons why we love teaching. And we didn't plan this. We just spewed it out. Like, we just set a timer and went for it. And the amount of things that we said at the end of it, I felt like completely energized by this video, because I was saying things, and you can see in the video, you know, Ryan and I are just saying things that we love doing. And at the end of it, we felt like, actually, no, like, there are a lot of things we really, really love. And hopefully this can be seen as sort of PD. Like, you could open a staff meeting and you could say to your staff, right, okay, you've got 60 seconds on the clock, get your whinges out. Like, you know, what's driven you mad this week? But then you can say, right, okay, we've done that now, we've got it out. Let's do 60 seconds, things that we really, truly love. Why are we here? The best staff meetings I've ever been part of are the ones that open with questions like, if you walked into the school, what do you think people would love about it? You know, just start off as you mean to go on. And that video has been great. So a lot of the teacher YouTube community have emulated this. They've gone on to do their own creations. They've done like 60 seconds, why they love teaching. So it's kind of spread like to others. And I really like the thought of people just taking a minute out to remember why we do it. You know, nobody's forcing you to be a teacher. And when you qualify, you kind of have this idea that it's not going to be easy and that it's going to be difficult. And that's okay. It's okay to know that what you're doing is a tricky job. It's just, it's about staying positive even when times are tough and reaching out to communities that will support you. There's a huge amount of stuff online. Like, there's groups that I've joined. Our Instagram is great because there's so many people on there that will respond to the stories that I put out there. And if we ask for like suggestions for videos, we get a lot of people saying, oh, please, could you make something about this? It would really help me. The most recent video we put out was about lesson observations. And I found that as soon as I put that out, I had a lot of people messaging me and saying, oh, I have a lesson observation this week, and this has really helped. Thank you. It's just good to hear. I don't think we're saying anything like revolutionary. I think we're saying things that people already know. If you're a teacher, you probably already know what we're saying and what we're talking about. But just to hear it from someone else, it almost feels like conversational. And we want people to feel like as if we are their coworkers, as if we're their colleagues, and we're sat with them and we're having a chat and we're having a laugh. You know, we laugh in every video. So it's almost, it's quite relatable for people to know that there's someone out there who will respond back. And, you know, we just, we just want to grow it, keep going with it.
No, I mean, oh my God, there were so many things that you said there that are so quality, because the idea that, you know, we on my episode I did with Colby Sharp, it was all about sharing your story as a teacher and why it's important to like put it out there. And, you know, not everyone wants to be, you know, the next social media teacher. You know, not everyone wants to be like these guys who get tons of recognition and they get all these shares, but it's super important to put your stuff out there, show teachers, you know, your thought process or a lesson that you did, or just put a video up where you talk about an issue that you're dealing with, or put a video up where you're putting that positivity out there, because, you know, it's so easy to be trapped in our little echo chambers, you know, and especially like I feel for the teachers who are on a team where they don't feel like they're a part of, or they're at a campus that's kind of dysfunctional, you know, though, and those are all over the world. And I think those are the teachers that listen to this podcast a lot. And I think they listen, you know, they watch your videos and stuff because they're people want communion. They want to feel connected. And the beauty of the internet and the beauty of sharing your story is that everyone, you know, it's democratized, right? Everyone gets to be a part of this, this ability to share what we're going through. And that's all this podcast is, right? You know, I'll bring the controversial subjects and the big names on here, but really I'm just having a conversation about my life as a teacher, right? I mean, tonight it is 8:35 p.m. in Texas. It's right. What, 9:35 in Hong Kong right now where you are?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I think I completely agree with what you're saying about building this community. You know, if you were to search, if you were to search something like behavior management tips for teachers online, you bring up like millions of different hits. And sometimes it's just a long list of people with these suggestions and you read through it. And sometimes it's boring. You might not want to have to read like 3 pages of advice if you're a teacher and you've already worked a long day. And then you read it and you think, oh, well, you know, who's written this? Is it a teacher or is it just someone maybe that has an opinion, which is fine as well. But when we did our behavior management video, we don't agree with everything with like what one another say. So we don't always agree with each other. We bounce ideas back and forth. And I think we're not saying anything different to these lists that you find online, but just because it's conversational and we're bouncing ideas back and forth, I can imagine like our community will see this and they'll think, oh, actually, like I tried that. It didn't work. Now I'm going to try this. It might not work again, and just keep going until you find things that click. Because, you know, we haven't been doing this forever ourselves. We're talking like Ryan's been teaching, next year is his 7th year and my next year is my 6th year. So we've been in the profession long enough to kind of know the gist, but we're learning. And when we post these videos, we get a lot of people sending suggestions and comments and agreeing or disagreeing. And all it's doing is it's building us up as well. And it's helping us out too. So that's the kind of snowball effect I'm hoping to have.
Yeah, I mean, the old adage is true to where, you know, a good teacher steals, right? Like, we just steal crap from everybody. We steal from, yeah. And it's, you know, it's just we're a bunch of thieves. But that's, I mean, teaching is so diverse, and the amount of the kids that we have in the room are so diverse that, like, there is just no one right answer. And anyone saying they have the one right answer are probably wrong. So, like, it's just the idea of getting more minds together than what you have. And sometimes you have a great team and you can work together, but sometimes, you know, you need a YouTube video, you need a podcast, you need something to drive what you're thinking is going, or otherwise you're just going to stay in this bubble and not grow.
Actually, we were saying the other day that it's strange when you think about teachers and what they're willing to do for the children. So they're willing to work these ridiculously long days. They're willing to research all these things and try all these different methods and make resources. And basically teachers are willing to go, I mean, most teachers are willing to go above and beyond for their students. But what we spotted is that teachers aren't always willing to go above and beyond for other teachers. You know, like there's a kind of lack of, well, no, because I mean, I've worked with people that go above and beyond for me, but I feel like imagine if teachers put 10% of what they do for the children into building up other professionals, other teachers, it would have this incredible snowball effect. If people were willing to, every time they make something, share it with a couple of people or talk it out with a couple of people or find a few teachers that are struggling in that first year and might be considering dropping out, or if we could find those people and pull them up at the start, maybe it will just have that effect on, you know, in the long run, on the children, because we need to be supporting the educators and the influencers. In fact, last night, Ryan and I talked about the word teacher, and we were wondering if maybe long term, that might not even be a word. Maybe people will refer to this profession as just influencer. Because in my head, teacher, it's very much like we tell the children things. Whereas I feel like influencer might be a nicer word to use, because I am not in, like, I mean, when I stand in that classroom, I'm guiding, I'm giving the children ideas and they roll with them, or they are creating their own ideas. And we've been talking a lot recently about child-led learning. So, you know, the teacher, I don't think we should be teaching anything to children that they can just go on the internet and search. If they can find the answer already on Google, I don't necessarily think we should be teaching it. I think we should be teaching, you know, ideas and concepts. And it does link with the curriculum that I teach out here in Hong Kong. And I do think like children should be given tools and they should be shown ways to find out their answers and ways to generate questions. But I don't think they always need us to just push answers on them. But, you know, the people I've been working with recently and talking to online, it seems like they've got the right idea as well, this whole influencer idea. I think people just need a way to channel it so that it reaches teachers as well as, well, influencers as well as children.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny that you say that word influencers. That's a really fascinating subject because, you know, we're not that different in age. We have basically the same teaching experience. You obviously in your neck of the woods, mine in mine, but, you know, same teaching experience, basically the same age bracket. You know, we kind of grew up in the rise, you know, of YouTube. Like, YouTube was coming around really in its prominence when I was younger. You know, I was old enough to be, you know, I was making vlogs on YouTube before Google bought it, right? In that early era of, yeah. Do what?
You're gonna have to share these videos with us.
Yeah, no. But, you know, I was doing that, you know, I was out there and then before it became this big thing, and then now influencers, now all of our kids, you know, they don't really talk about, you know, the big pop stars anymore. They talk about the YouTubers that they want to be like, and they all want to be, you know, there's this guy, he's an entrepreneur guy, Gary Vee, you know, he talks that everyone wants to be an influencer now, right? You don't want to be a celebrity, you want to be an influencer. You want to be someone who influences other people. And as an educator, and the way education is going is to where, you know, to be educated as a human being, I mean, you can Google whatever you want, right? Oh, you don't know what's the history of your country? Google it. You don't know who did this? Google it, right? That's not like, that's like old school education. That's about as old school as you can get. And to your point, you know, this idea that that's no longer our role. The internet fills that role perfectly, and anyone who wants that knowledge can have it. Our role is more of help guide thinking and help process, but not even controlling the process, not controlling the thinking, but like, here's the tools, do with it what you will, because the world is yours.
Completely. I get you. Like, the teacher in the classroom is almost a tool themselves. Like, we're there to prompt and push and guide. But, you know, when children come to me with these ideas that they've got and they want to know more about it, I just tell them, let's find out more then. Well, how can we find out more? Like, what are you interested in this week? And actually, we had a really funny video that's coming out, I think. I don't know when you would say, but like, it's coming out soon, yeah. Which is all about interesting ways to teach lessons and just like different hooks and ways that you can introduce topics, whether that's with an item in a classroom that you bring in or whether that's something bigger and like a big scale project that you do in your school. And we talked about some like little fails that we've had ourselves. So I mentioned when I built this little igloo, my children were really into anything to do with the Arctic, and they wanted something creating in the classroom. So we made this igloo, and I think it was terrible. It was covered in cotton wool and fairy lights, and they made it. So, you know, I don't think teachers always need to be like the main ones to create these things, like let the kids go with it. They loved it. I mean, they really believed in this thing, and it started to kind of melt. It was falling to the side. All the cotton wool was falling off. It was just a mess. But it prompted a lot of discussion because I just mentioned, I was like, oh, it's melting. Like, why could that be? And next thing you know, we have this full-blown project on global warming going on, and the children are going home and they're finding out facts about this, and they're telling me why the igloo is melting. I know it sounds like ridiculous, but I was just a facilitator of learning then. I didn't force the children to take action. I didn't force them to go home and find out more. I gave them ideas. I provided them with resources, but they ran with that. And it created such an amazing unit for the children based on investigation. And hopefully that's the message I think we're both trying to get across here, is that teachers are facilitators, but we need to be more influential in the way that we provide children with opportunities rather than facts.
So what's interesting is, so here's a question. And by the way, this is a total side subject. I'm totally pumped that I have you on the podcast. So the podcast that released with Haley Kerfman just now, you know, maybe it made it into the final cut or maybe not. I forget what makes it in and what makes it not. But on it, I say I wanted someone from a different country on the podcast because I wanted the reason I said that was because We have an audience all around the world. You know, I see all these different countries listening. I'm like, man, I mean, I'm a dude from Texas, right? I mean, my worldly view of education, you know, it's limited in so many ways. So to have you on is super fascinating. So here's my across the pond question. Okay.
Yes.
So, and this connects to what we were just talking about. So all of our stuff in Texas, you know, we have the Texas Education Knowledge Standards, I guess, the TECs. So the standards we have to teach every year, list of things that we have to teach. And from my perspective, a lot of teachers here, they resist this idea of influential teaching, I guess, is what we're coining it on this podcast.
Yeah. Keyword.
Yeah, influential teaching. So they resist that idea because they're like, well, you know, that's great and all, and it's empowering, but I have to teach these standards because these standards are on the standardized test, and that's how I eventually get graded. And, you know, they're very fearful of pushing the curriculum too far because they, you know, the top-down mentality of this. So from all the places you've taught, and this might be a good place to tell us where you've taught,
sure.
You know, is that as influential where you're at, or is it not as prevalent in the educational field over there?
I guess I can't speak for the public school system in Hong Kong. I know that that is way more structured and based on exams and is very prescribed, and, you know, children sit at a desk and they listen quite a lot. I mean, I don't know enough about that to comment. I work in a private school, so we teach a different curriculum. We teach the PYP IB curriculum, which when I first started teaching it, I was really confused. I didn't quite get it. It's very wordy, lots of acronyms. But the more invested I've become in it, I realize now that what they're preaching is really great because it's all about child-led learning. It's about not teaching. Okay, I'll give you an example here. Like not teaching something like plants and flowers, like more teaching about something like pattern, you know, just giving them a concept, something a bit more big, like we imagine it like an umbrella. So it's like we would give them like a huge concept to discuss that doesn't already have answers. It allows for a lot of discussion. It allows for debate and difference in opinions. It's hard if you were teaching the parts of a flower. It's kind of difficult for a child to pipe up and be like, I disagree with that. I don't think that's the stem. You know, you would be like, well, it is. It's a fact. Google it. Search it. It's true. Whereas, you know, when you open it up to pattern, you get to bring in like cultures and how things have changed over time and how it's important for different countries to acknowledge pattern. And then you can still bring it in to talk about plants and you can still talk about like the rainforest and ecosystems. And I think what we try and teach out here is a little more like open for interpretation, and whatever the children are interested in, that guides your learning. So when they come up with questions, you base your planning around that and you'll say, right, okay, if that's something you're really into, let's channel it. Let's go down that route. You know, I've gone down this route all to do with deforestation just because the children went home and found out a little bit more about where their furniture came from. And that sparked a whole unit, you know, just because they'd gone home and taken that initiative. And they were so inspired by what we'd been talking about that they'd gone home and they'd taken action. So I think the curriculum out here I find really fascinating. I know it's used in more than one country, so it's not specific to Hong Kong. But, you know, out here in Hong Kong, we don't, like, there's other curriculums. So we have international schools, like we have British international schools. So Ryan is still teaching the UK national curriculum out here. So right now, actually, which is kind of interesting for our channel, is that you have two teachers with the same background. You know, we both were brought up in similar areas. We both studied at similar universities. And our first workplace was at the same school. So everything that we kind of knew up to that point was pretty similar. Now we're teaching different curriculums. So when we do our videos, I think it's important to remember that everything we're talking about, we've now got really different ideas and opinions about. It just makes for great discussion. You know, sometimes we say things and then we pause the camera for a minute and we just actually talk it out and we decide like which part of that we want to put forward on the video. But maybe long term, when we've got a bit more of a following, we can have a debate. Like, you know, we could do a podcast, we can discuss it out and you can hear the two of us like raise our points. And I think it's important for teachers to see that kind of interaction because it's okay to have a disagreement in that staff meeting. It's okay to preach different ideas. You know, it's part of the job. And if teachers are supporting each other positively, then it will be okay for them to have that discussion. And it's how we're going to grow as a teaching community. It's that's that.
You know, I'm going to put this out there and hope that it happens. I want you, me, and Ryan to all come together on some yep. contentious ideas and yep. and host a civil conversation about some of the differences, because, I mean, I can only imagine that we would disagree on so many things just for the fact that we're all teaching different things. And what's funny about Texas is that Texas is it's this little island in the United States. We're not the only island, but so the majority of the United States is Common Core, you know, the national curriculum that has come up. But Texas, you know, we're so, our government and people by and large are so rebellious to the national government telling us to do anything that we're, you know, we have our own standards and our own national test, or not national, our own state test that gets schools funding. Yeah. And
is that how it works in the US? Like, do different states have different curriculums they follow?
They can, for sure. Texas does. If you accept Common Core, and I feel like someone's going to correct me on this, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't know as much about Common Core just because I'm not in Common Core. Yep. But if you accept Common Core, your state gets funding from the federal government. Okay. We don't get the same funding that other states do because we don't take Common Core. So we resist what the federal government is telling us to do. And that has to do with the whole states' rights versus federal rights in the United States. That's a constitutional thing. I mean, Texas is extremely Republican centered. We have very Democratic, we have cities that are that lean left of our political spectrum, but for the most part, we vote Republican, very red state. So we lean predominantly towards that. So Texas is really its own island. It's really funny because I go to trainings with people, like national trainings where, you know, they'll bring a bunch of people together from all across, and like they always make a caveat for us in Texas because we have a slightly different curriculum. And if you line them up, they're not 100% that different. Like they're not, yeah. You know,
different words sometimes.
Yeah, it's different wording. Yeah, for sure. And I imagine that's kind of what it's like, you know, in the UK and Hong Kong, where certain things are the same and certain things are kind of different in a lot of major ways. But what's interesting, I want to ask you is, so how long have you been in Hong Kong?
So we moved here just under 2 years ago. We actually had a friend who worked in our old school in Manchester who was from Hong Kong. And she suggested to us, she was like, oh, you should move out here. And we were like laughing one day. In fact, I wrote in like her leaving card. I was like, oh, we'll come visit you. And then within a couple of months, it was like less, we'll come visit you, and more, we'll move. And, you know, we actually moved with a group of people, and we all kind of applied for different schools. We weren't really too bothered about the curriculums that we were going to end up teaching because we're very open-minded people. But it's just fascinating that we've ended up with these two different paths. But when we reflect on our time in the UK and what we learned, but there's still a lot of crossovers and a lot of like really interesting discussions that we can have, despite the difference in the school settings. You know, Ryan's school's a lot bigger than mine. Mine's only a smaller school, but we still have so many different scenarios that we can pick at and link. And hopefully that shows in the videos, like that we remember our time in the UK really fondly, even though it was a tricky time. Like, you know, we worked incredibly hard in this school. Some days were really, really difficult, and that's, I think, where this friendship has come from, because we relied on each other a lot and had to stay positive and had to be those faces that walked around classrooms in the morning and put some music on for teachers and kind of got them ready for the day, because it could be tough. And when we talk about these behavior management techniques in our videos, and for example, I might not need to use those techniques right now in the school I'm working at. It's, you know, fairly easygoing, especially considering it's a private school. But, you know, we have that experience, and I hope that people don't see it and they think, oh, you're just teaching it. Maybe that doesn't sound good on the school, but I don't know. Never mind.
No. That's a 100% quality point. So I had my biggest fans right now, and I fanboy over them on every single podcast. And every podcast I say, my fans are going to hate me for repeating it, but I went to the Ron Clark Academy in Atlanta, Georgia. And if you don't know Ron Clark, or if you want your life to be changed, go see Ron Clark. Yeah, Ron Clark Academy in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm telling you, you will not regret it at all. It'll literally change your life in so many ways. It was, I don't get paid by them, right? I've given them so, I'm sure I've encouraged so many people to go there. But my point is like, they're a private school. I've interviewed, I had a guy, he used to work there. He's a principal at a magnet school over here in America right now, but he is Adam DeVico. He was like three episodes ago, maybe, depends on when this airs. But he, you know, we talk about how they were a private school and they're this huge brand. Like the Ron Clark Academy is known for what they do, right? But a lot of the criticism they get is, oh, you're a private school, you're really expensive, you get to pick your kids and all of that. But that doesn't negate the magic that happens with those teachers. Kids are kids, man. Kids are not going to listen to you just because they're private school kids, right? They're going to tell you to go to hell, you know, if they're not feeling what you're doing or they're resisting it. Like, it takes magic regardless of your situation, your country, your community, to get kids engaged. You can't walk in and just expect things to happen. Like, you have to, there's different levels of magic, but you still got to work your magic. All right, everyone, thank you for listening to Teach Me Teacher this week. It was a pleasure to have our guest on this week. It was absolutely amazing. I hope you stick around for part two next week, where we dive farther and farther into why you guys need to be sharing your stories, why we need to be talking positive about teaching, and all other bunch of great ideas that came about from this episode, which was just a classic pure on conversation. I don't even think we hit on half the questions that we had prepared. Absolutely amazing stuff. Go support Four Teachers on YouTube. I'll be sharing their stuff on the Facebook page these next 2 weeks, so make sure you are subscribing, liking, commenting on all of their stuff. For everything else, ladies and gentlemen, go to teachmeteacherpodcast.com. We can get every episode straight to your device of choice. If you want to go to iTunes, hit that subscribe button, download all the episodes. Once you've listened enough, go drop us a review and a star rating, ladies and gentlemen. Those pieces that you can do for us show us, one, that you're supporting the show, but two, it helps other educators find it. So if you find this podcast helpful, if you find what we're doing useful for other teachers, then share and do those ratings and reviews, because that really does allow so many more people to find us. If you would like to find out more ways to support Teach Me Teacher, please go to teachmeteacherpodcast.com, where you can find our Patreon link, where you can donate every month to support the show and also earn some perks along the way if you want to be what we would call the premier fan of the podcast. For everything else, ladies and gentlemen, have a good one.